This needs to be fixed. Good evening, everyone. This is a regular meeting of the Pismo Beach City Council, April 4th, and it's 4:36. Roll call, please.
Yes, Mayor Reese.
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Here.
Councilmember Rabinal.
Here.
Councilmember Higginbotham.
Here.
Councilmember Natoli.
Present.
Thank you.
Okay, if we could have the invocation by Dr. Paul Jones. Please stand.
Would you please bow your heart with me? Our Heavenly Father, as we see the lush green rolling hills and the landscape of our beautiful city, we are reminded once again that this scenic beauty exists because in recent weeks you have sent gentle falling rain. We are so grateful for your concern and watchful care equally over each of us. For this, we express gratitude tonight. It was President Calvin Coolidge who stated in 1924, "It seems perfectly plain that the right to equality has its foundation in the recognition of God and respect for God. If we could imagine that swept away, our American government could no longer be serviced. The concept of all citizens being equal before the law and all citizens having an equal vote in elections is based on equality before a supreme being." And it was President Harry Truman who said in his inaugural address in 1949, "We believe that all men are created equal because they are created in the image of God. Keep ever before us the truth that repentance and forsaking of our sins produces restoration and blessings. God has promised mercy for our past and grace for our present and future. So cause each of us to seek and to obey God and to walk in righteousness. May this be our life standard. Cause each to be champions of righteous living. History has well taught us that God promises security and stability to all who will put their trust in Him. And it is in this spirit that we boldly affirm our nation's motto today, In God We Trust. May each of our leaders, nationally and locally, not trust in wealth or position or power, but may they love and honor God and seek to live justly and righteously. We're most grateful for the privilege to be a part of the open public council meeting in Pismo Beach tonight. We invoke the wisdom of God to be generously bestowed upon our mayor, her colleagues, and their support staff. Cause each item on the agenda to be granted your solution and your answer, for only then will heaven's blessings flow on earth from City Hall into each home in the life of each citizen and guest in our beautiful city.
Saturday, April 8th, 2006, will commemorate the 28th annual Day of the Child celebration during Children's Day in the San Luis Obispo Mission Plaza, a day where children and their families interact with the agencies and programs providing services throughout the county and...
Whereas the Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month is a time to recognize that children are our responsibility, and to commit ourselves to ensuring that each and every child experiences a quality environment at home, at child care, at school, and in the community that will promote their learning and safety.
Whereas the City of Pismo Beach recognizes that every moment in children's lives is an opportunity for children to learn, and that the quality of these experiences may determine whether a child succeeds in school and in life, and that all children need caring and loving adults in their lives.
Whereas the activities of this month will provide an opportunity to acknowledge youth and early care and education programs and their dedicated staff to raise the awareness of the community, employers, and elected officials to the needs to improve quality, ability, and accessibility of such programs.
May we remember to listen to and respect the children around us, to have patience and allow them the joy to enjoy the journey of childhood. And may we commit to take action to support their safety and to ensure access to quality, early care, and education for families in San Luis Obispo County. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the City of Pismo Beach proclaims April 2006 as the Month of the Child and Child Abuse Prevention Month, and April 8, 2006 as Day of the Child, dated this fourth day of April. Mary Ann Rees, Mayor. Would Tara Beecher please meet me?
James Murphy.
Thank you. Thank you. It's my pleasure to present this to you.
Thank you. I'd like to first off thank Mayor Mary Ann Rees, council members, and staff for proclaiming April as Month of the Young Child. I'm going to keep it real brief because I know you have a full agenda. I wanted to thank you on behalf of the SLO County Child Care Planning Council, as well as Happy Time Cooperative Preschool located in Pismo Beach. This month we're going to be, in honor of this month, we'll be hosting an open house at our preschool. We'll also be finishing up, and I think we already have finished, a window display with the Pismo Chamber of Commerce. We also have an information table at the Pismo Beach Mid-State Bank. And for Farmers Market, we're going to be doing a fun with Play-Doh table, and we'll be following that up on April 8th, Day of the Young Child, with another Fun with Play-Doh table at the Mission Plaza. So I, again, wanted to thank you for this proclamation and seeing how important it is to keep our children safe and happy in this community. So thank you very much.
Thank you. And when is your open house?
We have one today, and I think we're having another one. We're at 1091 Bellow Street tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You made it to that, too. Thank you.
And I'll just leave
much.
These posters for you as well, okay?
Yeah. Thank you.
Sure.
Would you like to give them to the staff, and then we'll make sure we get them?
And if you go by the preschool at 11:30, it's snack time.
It's okay. Don't
thank you. It's snack time.
Thank you.
Hey. Thank you very much. Hi.
Out here.
What's your name?
Corey. Thank you, Corey.
Oh, hi.
Thank you.
I love
you. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness. This is wonderful. Three-year-old class. Oh, four-year-old class.
And I love your boots.
Thank you
His
very
are blue.
Much. Do you go to
Ian's are blue.
What's his name? What's your name?
Thank you. Hi.
I got one. I'll take two.
This is great.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This is always a joy. Anything that involves children, it's our pleasure. Thank you so much. They didn't hold it up so we could see it. Could we see the poster? Okay. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you, James. Okay, the next item on our agenda is a proclamation supporting the SLO Green Build, and we kind of postponed this for a couple meetings so that we would have someone here to present it to. So could we begin reading this proclamation?
Yes, Madam Mayor, I'd be happy to. This is something that I feel very, very strongly about. This is a proclamation proclaiming the support of the City Council of SLO Green Build. Whereas SLO Green Build is a nonprofit group of architects, builders, community planners, and area residents,
supports the efforts of SLO Green Build to better the environment of the City of Pismo Beach and the Central Coast through its efforts to promote sustainable building practices, and
be it further resolved that the City Council encourages all citizens of Pismo Beach to educate themselves on sustainable building practices and consider implementing green building in new development and remodeling in the City of Pismo Beach. Dated this fourth day of April 2006, Mary Ann Rees, Mayor. Is Alex Rothenberg here? Very good. Meet me at the podium.
Hey, Alex. I'm well. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Certainly. Madam Mayor, City Council, and staff, thank you very, very much for supporting us, SLO Green Build. I'm a board member. I'd like to thank you on behalf of SLO Green Build and the communities that are growing in number supporting sustainable development. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, item 1C is the introduction of a new employee, and would the city clerk like to introduce a new employee?
Yes, I would. Birgit, could you please join me at the podium? Good evening, Mayor Reese, council members, city staff, and citizens of Pismo Beach. I'd like to introduce to you Bridget Kripe. Bridget has been hired to replace Deputy City Clerk and Executive Assistant Mandy Dawson while she's out on maternity leave for the next several months. Little background on Birgit. In the past, she has worked for CIG Fiber Optics, Richfield Hospitality Services, and that little aircraft company named Hughes. Mm-hmm. She's been the executive assistant for all of those companies. Most recently, Birgit comes from the city of Buellton, where she's served as city clerk for the last 8 years. So she brings a lot of experience to the city of Pismo Beach. Birgit has obtained her certification as a municipal clerk, and she is working on her master's of municipal clerk right now with the International Institute of Municipal Clerks. With Birgit's experience and knowledge, little transition and training will be needed for her to fill this position. Birgit has extensive experience regarding agendas and posting, legislative policies and procedures, preparation of minutes, and the election process. And that's just to name a few of her outstanding traits. I think our department feels very lucky to have Birgit on board to keep the flow of the administration and the clerk's office at the same caliber that it has been in the past with Ms. Dawson. Birgit's experience in the clerk's office is very welcomed, and Ms. Dawson takes leave. Birgit resides in Lompoc with her husband, Roger. Please, citizens and staff, as you come to the administration office at the city clerk's office, please stop by and say hi to Birgit and welcome her. Mayor and council members.
Welcome. Good afternoon. Thank you, Lori, for that nice introduction. Honorable Mayor, City Council, City Manager, City Clerk, City Staff, I want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to work in this beautiful city while Mandy is on maternity leave. I'm certainly enjoying my assignment and would love to stay here as a permanent employee should the opportunity ever become available. I also want to thank the entire staff at City Hall for their friendliness and their acceptance of me. I already feel like I'm part of the team. I've learned a lot about the city of Pismo Beach while catching up on all the minutes. As you can see in your package, you have a lot of them to approve. And I'm very, very impressed. You should all be very proud of this city. You have such a beautiful City Hall, a great staff, and a great city. And thank you again for letting me have this opportunity. And if you have any questions, please feel free to ask. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Welcome.
Wow. Thank you.
We can see a lot of work is getting done already. Okay, the next item on our agenda is the public comment period. This is the time for the public to speak on items that are not on the agenda. Is there anyone that would like to speak at this point? I have no cards this evening. Ooh, this is a surprise.
A quick meeting.
Okay. With that, the next item on our agenda is City Council comments and requests. And I wanted to just begin to say one thing, and that was I don't want to pull item 4F off the agenda, but I do want to recognize Christine and Bill Couch for their contribution to Shumash Park. They're contributing a flagpole in memory of her.
I appreciate the family. I appreciate what they're going through, how they represented themselves, and how they represented their father. It became a very tearful moment for me in the back of the room, and then I was called upon to speak, and it was very difficult. You know, I lost my father, as many of us have, but my father, of course, didn't die under such circumstances. It was moving. I would venture to guess there were 400 or 500 people there today. It was absolutely wonderful. And Denny's employee even came forward and certainly gave her sincere, very sincere condolences to the family. It was quite an afternoon, and for those that you attended, I appreciate it very much. I do know that AGP Video was there filming it. If you have an opportunity to listen to this man's life and everything that he accomplished, and the true love and caring from his family, I'll get emotional again. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
You're welcome. Is there anyone else that has any comments? Okay. Councilwoman Higginbotham.
Thank you. I had a couple of announcements, and then I had a couple questions, if I may. Mm-hmm. It was mm-hmm. a difficult morning. That was a wonderful memorial service. I share your comments. The Parks and Recreation Department's putting on the annual Easter egg hunt at Shell Beach School, and I don't have the date in front of me. It's a week from Saturday. The 14th?
15th.
I'm sorry. Thank you. The 15th. It's at 10 a.m. at Shell Beach School, and it's a wonderful activity. I hope you can all come out, and I know that Parks and Rec would appreciate any volunteers from the community. It takes a lot of people to hide eggs and run the activities for the kids. So if you're interested in volunteering, you can call 773-7063 and volunteer you some time. Thank you. Also, the grand opening of the Dinosaur Caves Playground had to be postponed due to weather, so we're hoping that April 22nd, I got that date, at 10 a.m., the weather will be shining on us, and you can come down and we'll have the official grand opening of the playground, so I hope you can all join us for that. Two questions to staff. There was an item on the Planning Commission agenda on Tuesday with regard to a project that's right next to Irelese Park. And I recall when I was on the Parks Commission, we had approved some plans and had made recommendations to council. And I believe council approved the plans for the park, and I was wondering where we were in the next step.
Where we're at is we have the design pretty much roughed out, and engineering is beginning to work on that. On a bid package. The funds come from the state bonds funding that was, I'll get the year wrong, but I think it was 2002 state park bond funds is where the funding source for that refurbishing in that park, which will include a restroom. And there's some additional improvement to the storm drainage issue, because presently the back of the cul-de-sac at the backside of the park doesn't drain very well,
mm-hmm.
And that's being corrected with that design.
Well, I know that project that came before Planning Commission, mm-hmm. I believe, was just in conceptual.
That's
so I'm
correct.
Hoping they know what the new design of the park is, and
that's
Planning
correct.
Commission
We've shared
does,
that with
and it's
them.
All.
Yeah.
Thank you. So it's in engineering, and are we waiting for more money? Or are we waiting for engineering? Or
well, it's in the pipeline. We're working. Engineering is currently working on several projects, and it'll come up
okay.
as soon as we finish that.
Okay. Yeah. And then I had a call, and there was some question. I believe in May the council will be looking at adopting the bike path, the proposed bike path along near the Price Historic House.
That's correct. We have a trails plan that is coming to
okay.
the city council.
Okay.
Which the council looked at previously.
Right.
And we have a segment that we're working on.
Okay.
From Cypress Street to the ocean.
Well, there was some question that maybe we might not have an acquired easement yet from the railroad. And so I just wanted to see if we could check and make sure
okay.
we had that, maybe
I'll
before it comes
that.
Before council, and then we can do it all at once. And that's all I had. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you.
May I just add on to something?
Yes.
Because that bike path, I think, is going to be extremely important. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, I have a meeting with King Ventures and the Regional Water Quality Control Board. They have $7 million that are available, and they're looking to put it into watershed easements and those types of things. So hopefully, because there is a match with this money.
Mayor Pro Tem and Council, I got an email here late this afternoon from Mr. Tom Martin, who's head of Waste Connections, appeared before the council at the last council meeting. He says that the rate consultant hired by Arroyo Grande recommended the city approve a smaller increase than my original request based on lower projected pass-through costs. He says here, so that all of South County cities remain on the same playing field, I owe you .0083. And then we have several options. We can go back and we can amend the ordinance that we passed last time to compensate for this extra .0083. Or we could hold off till next year and then deduct that 0.83% from his projected increase next year. But anyway, I received that information this afternoon.
So if you just received it, you probably have no idea what the savings is, do you?
He doesn't mention hard figures here. He just mentions the percentage, so I don't know yet.
Yeah, I think wait until next year. You know how that goes, and we all forget. So I think we should look at it now.
We need to put it on the agenda to look.
It's less than a penny. .008.
If I could, though, I think I do owe you, the staff owes the council, an answer back as to what the dollars are, like on, you know, when you pay on your monthly bill, what the ratepayer will pay. Is it a penny? Is it $1.63? Whatever it is. So I owe you that.
Mm-hmm. And I believe, I understand where Councilmember Rabinault's coming from. However, people that are in fixed incomes, just the smallest amount makes a difference. So I am interested in that.
Okay, so we'll bring it back and put it on our agenda then?
Yes, ma'am. We'll bring it back and give you some options.
Okay. Thank you. And that's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Okay. And Councilman Atoli, did you have anything?
No, not at this time.
Okay. All right. The next item on our agenda is the consent agenda. And Councilman Atoli asked to pull 4F. And I just have one question on 4-H, and so rather than pull it, can I just get the question answered? Or should I pull it?
Madam Mayor, I'd also like to, if I could, pull 4-G so that we can discuss 4-G for the council.
Okay, 4-G and 4-F. And I don't think I want to pull 4-H, but I'd like to have a question answered. We'll be making some improvements on that. It's the police department is asking for some improvements and some money, or there's funding there to do this. Will this interfere in any way when we get ready to do consolidation and if we talk about consolidating on our dispatch? Maybe I need to pull it. We'll discuss it.
I guess the answer would be it's way too early to tell. In other words, in fact, we have an odd ad hoc committee that met for the first time yesterday on joint consolidated dispatch between the cities of Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano. But this is not going to happen overnight. So it will not interfere. I cannot see in any way that it would interfere because it's going to take a while for us to get to this joint dispatch if we do, in fact, get there. And this money now, as the staff report says, this is not out of our general fund. This is money that the state just keeps up there and keeps accumulating every year. So my recommendation would be move forward so we can get this new equipment in our dispatch center.
Okay.
So we're up to date.
Then I won't pull this item. But I will entertain a motion.
I had one question, okay. if I may, on item 4C. I was just wondering how come the minutes from December are just now being approved. Was there a reason for that?
Just that with Ms. Dawson going to part-time, we've lost 4 hours a day until Ms. Kripe showed up, and then she's caught up with our minutes.
Because we've
got a couple more.
Okay, because as I'm reading the minutes, I'm going, do I remember this or not? And it's so long ago to approve them. I like to remember what I'm reading. So.
Yeah, so we probably still have a couple more meetings that we're just a little bit behind. And with Ms. Kripe on board, hopefully we can get those caught up with since Ms. Dawson's just a 4 hours a day.
And I'm sure you will.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.
Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to approve the agenda item as items as presented with the exception of 4F and 4G.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda items other than 4F and 4G.
Councilmember Rabinal?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Aye.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Aye.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, and normally these items are put at the end of the agenda, but...
City manager's direction, I went over and talked with them one evening, and they gave me a check for this. And so we're, as the report says, there's a process that we go through for accepting money for things like this, and it's already been through the Parks, Recreation, and Beautification Commission, which approved the installation of the flagpole. If you approve the acceptance then of this tonight, it will go on to the Planning Commission for their approval of the permit and all. And I noticed that Christine and Bill Couch are here this evening.
Okay, thank you very much. Does anyone want to make any comment? I think Councilman Natoli wanted to make a comment, and then we'll have them stand up and be recognized.
Yes. When I first got onto the council, and that was back 8 years ago, I had an ally in trying to get Chumash Park started, and that was Bill Couch. We've had a lot of discussions, and we finally came up with the Quimby Act to enable us to finally get that park going. And Bill has always favored that park to be developed since he was on the PRBC, and he kept pushing and pushing for it. So I thought I just wanted him to be recognized this evening, he and his wife both, to be recognized, because those two in our city have done a lot of good for the public. They have serviced, if you see James Way now and the planners on James Way, they've just taken everything to heart. They planted all the plants themselves with some help from some of our neighbors. However, they're very, very dedicated to the city. And for them to come up and make a gesture such as this, I think it has to be applauded. That's why I wanted to pull this off the agenda this evening. So I'd like to see both of them stand and give us some kind of words.
Would you like to stand? And then if you'd like to come to the podium and make a comment, you're welcome to do that.
Well, first, thank you very, very
thank
much
you. For that.
Good evening. I wasn't prepared to say anything. The entrance to the Chumash Park will do my heart a lot of good. I've lost my dear brother. There were the family of four of us, and I'm now the only one remaining. And Bill and I would like to make our daily walk to the Chumash Park to see the flagpole flying the American flag. I am a Danish family, and my Bill is of a Swedish family. We're proud of our history and in contributing to the community. We met a lot of people, and every day I come home saying, gee, I didn't know they knew me. And, gee, thanks, you know. It's a nice little community. And my fingernails show that I have worked very hard on 114 planter boxes. But I think they're blooming, and it gives me deep pride in seeing this side of town, which we call Pismo Beach, Pismo Oaks. The community of this area has grown and become very beautiful. We have found James Way greatly improved with those glowing orange lights. And I can drive down to the post office very easily now and not worry that if I'm on the left or the right side of the road. And I've seen so much improvement. I came over here 14 years ago with a brand new husband who died 23 days later. I didn't want to return to Fresno, and God sent me Bill. So I've remained on and really have felt proud to be part of the community. And I want to thank all you good people, your smiles, your handshakes. I feel at home here and will never leave. Thank you.
Let me say something.
Thank you.
I'll have to say ditto for most of my wife's remarks. But I would once again like to say how much I enjoyed the 12 years that I spent on the Parks and Recreation Commission. I'd like to have had another 4 years, but I couldn't round up enough votes, I guess. But anyway, I might try it again, because I really do miss the work on PRBC and the work we did. And if we can get the Shemesh Park parking lot done before our flagpole dedication, it would be very appreciative. But I want to thank all the help, all the people that we've talked to on this, and George has been a big help. He came over to the house and talked it over and everything. I think we've got a meeting of the minds on this, and I don't think we'll have any problem coming.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 4G is a resolution proposing appropriation of an additional $26,000 from the unallocated balance of the park development fee to Dinosaur Caves Park Phase 5. And I'd like to ask Dennis Delzite to go ahead and give the staff report, and then I've also got some information on it. Dennis?
The city has solicited bids for construction of Chumash Park, the latest construction, Dinosaur Caves Park, and as so many construction projects are showing us now, the bids are coming in much higher than what the estimates were, and such was the case here. I'd like to first give you a little background on the funding. The city has received $16,357 grant from the California Department of Parks and Recreation, and the city matched that with an $18,560 grant of park development funds. And we also received $2,000 from the Dinosaur Caves Preservation Society. The low bidder is a firm called Stratton Construction, and we're short approximately $26,000 to award the construction of the project. We did have bid alternates that gave the city maximum flexibility, not knowing how the bids would come in, and what we're recommending is the minimum project that will satisfy the grant requirements. The breakdown of the budget is provided at the bottom of page one, and we understand there were additional questions asked, and I'm prepared to review those questions. One question was, when will the trails grant expire for Dinosaur Caves Park? And that is June 30th of 07. Another question was, what's in the master plan that has been completed? Well, we do have a trail system throughout the site with a few exceptions, and I'll go over those. We have the junior play area done, an 18-space parking lot done, bathroom done, tot lot completed, dry creek bed completed, basketball half court, and picnic areas completed. The items that are not done, in accordance with the master plan, is a trail leading to the Ventana Stairway, a stairway from the park to Ventana Del Mar, and a Chumash feature. And we are attempting to coordinate with the Chumash San Ynez Nation. We have not received feedback from them on what they would like to have there yet. We don't have an exact cost estimate of what it'll take to complete these other improvements at Chumash Park, but the estimate is somewhere in the $200,000 to $350,000 range.
Dennis, I think you're talking about Chumash, and this is we're talking about Dinosaur Caves.
Yes, the questions were related to
both
Chumash
of them?
As well as
oh, I
Dinosaur
got it.
Caves.
Okay, sorry.
Yes.
All right.
If there are further questions, I can answer further questions, but some of these questions came up.
I see. Okay. There wasn't any others that you...
No. So okay. the staff recommendation is to adopt the resolution which would appropriate additional monies to award the Trails project on the Dinosaur Caves project.
Okay. Councilman Natoli, I think you wanted this item pulled, so
yeah.
Did you have any comment?
Ever since we started with Dinosaur Caves, okay, first off, it was going to be a huge donation from somebody from Portugal, okay, then that never transpired. Then we decided we're going to go with grants and donations for Dinosaur Caves, which is fine. This is the way I thought it was supposed to be. But it seems to me, like from my count, that we've already taken close to $80,000 or $90,000 out of the Park Development Fund for Dinosaur Caves. I just don't see that. Because we have Highland Park that could use a rubberized area for the play area for the children. We have Ira Leash Park that I think could have used some of that money. And there are some other parks in this side of town that needs this. And I don't think that every time that there's a shortfall for Dinosaur Caves that we have to hit our park development funds. I can't see that. So I just had to make a comment regarding this. And I just want to know where we stand. Are we going to do that park by other parks here that can use that money? That's all I have.
Does anyone else have any comments?
Thank you. I understand Councilmember Rabinall's Councilmember Natoli's concerns, but I also think it's important to finish what we've started, and hopefully Shumash is about to be finished after all these years with the parking lot, etc.
No way.
We promise. I think Dinosaur Caves is demonstrating something a little bit different from some of the other parks in that there is potential to generate revenue, and parks usually don't do that. And not necessarily that they're supposed to, but the idea of the amphitheater coming online and that ongoing art in the park from May to July, I think the city's beginning to realize revenue or realize revenue that we haven't seen before, which I think is important that some of these things be finished so that the park can be utilized to its full extent. The question I guess I have, my concerns, is when we read some of these, like this project was, we got the grant from the Park Development, California Parks, Department of Parks and Recreation in 2004. And I know it has to go through the process of you know, grant planning and then engineering. And I know that other projects have to take priority. Goodness knows those sewer trestles and all of those things have to take priority. But I'm wondering, as the cost of everything seems to be skyrocketing, and again, this is Monday morning football, but would it on some of these projects, in the long run, would we not have saved money if we had maybe contracted out some of the services to get the project done instead of waiting the 2 or 3 years, and now it's so over budget? You know, I don't even know if you can answer that question, but I think that's a concern because we keep seeing that with many, many projects because they aren't the huge, huge priority because other things in our infrastructure have to be. But I just wonder the cost-benefit of delaying.
Well, what you say is accurate. If we could contract out all of our work to be engineered and totally managed, that would be ideal. The fact is the city has a very aggressive capital improvement program. The council is well aware of how many projects that have been started and completed. The contracting out doesn't mean that we can contract out the responsibility as well. We as staff still have the responsibility for overseeing the work that consultants are doing. And we believe that we've actually fully utilized the staff we have to manage and oversee all the consultants we have. And really that's the critical point where we are currently is we're managing and overseeing as many projects as we possibly can now. But what you say is true. If we could possibly do that and get the projects out quicker, then with the soaring costs of construction, we could save money. But we're juggling as it is, and that's really the critical path in all of the projects that we're doing is how to keep all the balls in the air and keep everything moving at the same time.
If I could add to that, a good example is, of course, we do now these quarterly CIP briefs to the council, so you know of all the projects that are being completed, what ones are coming up. But all of these are very time-consuming in the process they have to go through. And then even after they're done, there's still usually punch list items that our engineers have to spend time making sure the contractor gets done. For example, we have not brought forward to council yet a notice of completion on the street slurries and overlays, mm-hmm. because the contractor still has not made all of the corrections that we're requiring of them, which requires, in this case, Greg Ray, one of our engineers, spending a lot of time insisting that the contractor finish up the work. Same thing is true of if you've been down to Harborview, it looks miraculous from the way it used to be.
Yeah.
It really does. But believe it or not, there's still punch list items that Mr. Ray is insisting be finished up before we do the notice of completion. So I just add that to give you a sense that you know we really do require these contractors to do it right before we bring a notice of completion to the council, and all that requires time.
Of course, Madam Mayor, I don't think that was really Rudy's concern. What I'd like to do is we have the president of the Dinosaur Caves Preservation Society here today. I'd like to hear from them.
Excuse me. Did the Mayor Pro Tem have any comments or questions?
No, I'd like to hear.
Of which we have a minimal amount left because every dime has been used to match funds that the city has, in fact, applied for, and to perform construction projects, and to create a playground, and to do all the things that the city in our MOU has challenged us to do. There's only so much money. If you can convince the rest of the citizens of this city to donate $10 apiece, we won't need any money from the city. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons that we need money from the city at this point for this project, which we did in fact help to match funds for, is because of the unfortunate and likely necessary delay that has occurred. We have seen in the past with working that delays like this have cost money. And Rudy, the majority of the time, the city comes to us, the society, to ask us to supplement the monies that were created in excess because of delays. And we have been able to do it in the past. We have just finished spending $48,000 on a wall which is going to be tiled and possibly be a representative piece of artwork for the entire state of California. Is this a regional park? I hope the region uses it. I hope the region gives us money. We have our fingers in getting money throughout the state, and we work very hard. Marilee Hyman, without question, is the most dedicated human being in this park, and without her, it wouldn't exist at all, regardless of what we all decided to do. But it still is not enough. We gave matching funds with a contract agreement with the city for this project that would allow for the full project completion. With what you're considering giving at this point, it would be with minimum project completion. It's very disappointing, but we do understand that we work with partners who are, in fact, taxed and have limited capacity to be able to do anything any quicker than they're doing because they are just working as hard as they can. We understand that, but we don't think that the project should be put in jeopardy because of $20,000. Now, as far as I understand, and I don't discount any park, Shoemesh Park has cost over $817,000 for its completion, and it's not complete yet. It's a beautiful park, and it's wonderful. Dinosaur Caves Park is an equal partner to it and should have that consideration as well. I'm sorry, but I have never seen a resolution from the council stating that this park must be built on public funds that are generated from the individual citizens who are already paying to be in this city and from grants. And I think that we all, the city and DCPS, have done an admirable job over the last 10 or 11 years in getting as much money as we have, much of which is from grants. We're talking about, am I correct, $98,000 from city at this point? Is that correct? Between a $98,000 and $162,000 from the city at this point. It is an outlay. This is an 11-acre park This attracts enormous numbers of people. As Shelley said, it has the possibility of generating some income back, although not the primary cause. And it is a jewel for our city. I beg you at this point, okay? I beg you. This is a small amount of money, considering what it is that we can get from the synergy of getting this done and getting the grass planted. If you want to help us to be able to generate more money, we need you to be our partner and give us something that we can sell to the rest of the population. I respectfully ask that you consider this in a favorable light.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Excuse me. Madam Mayor, I have to recuse myself. With the new campaign laws, my husband's profit-sharing plan owns a house within 500 feet of Dinosaur Caves, and I completely forgot, and I apologize.
Okay. Okay.
I'll wait till she's out of the room. Don Day, 101 Park, please. Pismo Beach. Madam Mayor, members of the council. I'd like to shed a little additional light on what's going on here, or has gone on in the past, relative to public information. This park isn't necessarily been done on the backs of the dedications. If you take the 10 years and you factor in the $180,000 to $200,000 in debt retirement that this community pays out of the general fund, we have made a substantial payment towards this park, the public has. That's general fund money. In addition to that, there's been matching funds that were alluded to from this council and other councils. Not to say that it isn't a wonderful park, but I think Rudy has a point. Somewhere along the line, we have to realize that we have other parks in this community. There are other people in this community that are entitled to some improvement. And maybe we need to prioritize where we're going to, how we're going to fund Dinosaur Caves, the rate we're going to fund it, but then recognize that we're making a substantial contribution every year to Dinosaur Caves, if nothing more than $180,000 to $200,000 in payment that we make in order to satisfy the.
That is the donation from the private donor for the playground. So if you wanted to just add that on the list, it's even larger than what you're seeing. We knew that there would be some questions, and so Carolyn prepared this quickly this afternoon, and we looked at all our books to get the figures also. But I think it's very noticeable at the very top of the first page that the total amount of grants given to our community by the state, Coastal Conservancy, Caltrans, and all the rest of the grants, totaled almost $765,000, and that's a lot of money. And that's in recognition that we are a regional park, I think. We also have private donations given to the city of about $10,000, and about $10,000 value in donations for plantings by the Eagle Scouts. And the City Park Development Fund has been just under $100,000, $98,000. 317. And this is the area that causes concern. Are these park development funds? I'd like to point out that up to the time that Chumash was completed, the amount of monies out of park development funds that had been dedicated to developing Dinosaur Caves was only $3,000. So anything to do with Dinosaur Caves out of Park Development Fund was set aside until over $800,000 was spent for Chumash Park. So the monies that show there are after, pretty much after we had committed to Chumash. The other important point about Park Development Funds that causes a little bit of confusion to people who say, what about the rest of our parks? We have 19 public areas that we want to keep up, keep in good shape, improve. Unfortunately, considerable amount of the park development funds, which many of you are aware on City Council, are not available. They cannot use park fund monies for their improvements. So we have to do it in other ways. The majority has not been available.
Thank you.
You might note at the bottom. Yes, thank you. You might note at the bottom that there these are the areas that still need improvement and need monies raised. The largest of which is landscaping of about $500,000, $500,000. So we're working hard. But we were so disappointed that we didn't have the full amount for this present bid before you on your agenda item. We had the grant 2 years ago. 2 years ago, we had this money. It would have paid for all of it. The delay has caused a $26,000 shortfall. And not from our fault, but combination of fault. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item?
Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of Council, Tony Spinelli. Well, I do respect Mr. Natoli's comments and Don Day's comments. I stood before you when we were talking about granting money for the Dinosaur Caves Park way back when and told you that I was the turncoat up here that was against the Dinosaur Caves Preservation Society and what they had done on that cliff down there. And now that we have it, let's finish it. Well, as I see the number of kids on the weekends playing in this park, this facility, it amazed me. Because I was one of those that said that I don't think anybody would ever use that park other than the tourist. Well, they proved me wrong once again. And as I see that park developing and what can happen on that park in the future with events and so forth, I stood before you and explained that we were going to do the taste on the park in conjunction with the Taste of Pismo in conjunction with the car show. I think that park down there is going to bring a lot more events to this community. So with that, I totally understand everybody's concerned about the finances through the city, but I also look at the benefits. And I urge you to give them the $27,000. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience who would like to speak to this item?
Yeah. I jumped up so fast I just bent my leg. Okay. It's metal. You don't have to worry. It'll be okay. Okay. So what I'm saying is you got more for your money that you put $162,000 in an 11-acre park versus about a 4-acre park. And I'm going to tell you that your money was well spent. And if it were me, I wouldn't put any more money in the Shumash Park. I'd put it all down in the park that's the highlight and the key to this city and that will be used by the visitors of this city as well as the people who live in this city and the tourist trade that you have in the hotels that are located along the Shell Beach cliffs. Definitely will have people go down there. And I think Mr. I can't think of his name. Tony Spinelli. My very good friend, Tony Spinelli, whose name I'll never forget, hit it right on the head. You just need to go down there on a sunny day and see these kids enjoying that park. And I'm going to tell you that it's been money well spent. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak to this item? Please.
David Baumgarten. I'm from Los Osos, but I'm the executive director of Pismo Pacific Light Opera Theater. And our hopes are so much pinned upon the completion of that park for our continuing presentations to the community and to the whole region. And I can't imagine people doing a better job than the Dinosaur Caves Preservation Society have done and their enthusiasm and how much they contribute to this region. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this item? Yes. Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. And is there any other further comments from council members?
I want to make one comment. The acreage at Chumash Park is 40 acres, not 4 acres. And that's a lot of land that was donated to the city by the developers up there. We didn't buy that property. We bought Dinosaur Cave's property, and we're still paying for it, and we're going to continue paying for it out of the city's budget. So you cannot say that you can compare what was spent up there with what was spent over at Dinosaur Caves. So I don't buy that at all.
Okay. Excuse me. Please. Is there any other comments from the council?
Well, the only thing that I'd like to say is I don't think Rudy's very astute. And he always looks at these things from a fairness standpoint. He always looks at it from a monetary standpoint. I didn't know that he was going to bring this forward tonight, but he's not looking for a fight. I think that what he's looking to do is to say, let's have some equity. I haven't heard him say he won't vote for it. I mean, he's bringing things forward because he wants it to be on the conscience of people. Within the community, that there is equity, and I believe that's really all that he's looking for at this point.
Right.
And I think that he wants to continue that in the forefront of this. So I applaud Rudy for bringing it forward, for just bringing top of mind awareness. I don't think anybody's not going to approve it, but I shouldn't say that because I don't know.
Okay, thank you, sir. Any other comments? I don't have any. Okay. I just have a couple. I think that, I understand where Councilman Natoli is coming from in making it all of us aware of the different contributions to different parks and that kind of thing. But I think all of our parks have a lot to do with the quality of life here in this community. And a few years ago, we made a commitment that this would be a park. And so when we continue to hear about the contribution toward that park, I guess I'm not happy about that because we are paying for the park. This is not one that was donated to us. But I think it is a park that's bringing a lot to this community. And so I'm very supportive of using this park development money. And with that, I'll make a motion to approve this. Is there a second?
Somebody want to second that?
I'll second that.
Yeah. Thank you. So we have a motion and a second.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Councilman?
Well, 5 minutes. Okay, are we ready? Council members?
Share.
It was probably a good idea. Okay, we are back in session, and the next item is 6A. Mr. City Manager.
6A. Madam Mayor and Council, item 6A is a presentation on the Lopez Water Treatment Plant and also on the Lopez Dam Habitat Conservation Plan. I'd like to ask our Director of Public Works, Dennis Delzite, to introduce the folks who have kindly come here from the County Public Works Department to brief us tonight. Dennis?
We have four staff members from County Public Works that are here with us tonight to help present the information. Sitting right next to me is Doug Bird, who is the Hydraulic Administrator with County Public Works. Mark Hutchinson. Mark? There you are. Oh, can you stand up, Mark, for a moment? Mark is the Environmental Division Manager.
Okay, thank you.
With County
you for
Public
being
Works.
Here.
Dean Benedix. Dean is the engineer in charge of the Hydraulics Division of the county.
Okay.
And he's also the project manager for the Lopez Plant Upgrade Project. And then we also have Pavel Ogren, Deputy Public Works Director for the county.
Okay.
I'd like to make a few brief comments before we actually get started with the presentations.
Okay.
There will be two presentations. One will be on the Habitat Conservation Plan. That'll come first. And the second will be on the Treatment Plant Upgrade. It'll be about 10 minutes each, and then there'll be plenty of time for the council to ask questions or the public if anyone wishes to. The upgrade to the Lopez Water Treatment Plant is primarily necessitated by increased state health department regulations, and PISMO's share in the cost is approximately 20%, so 20 cents for every dollar that's spent is paid for by PISMO Beach. The current estimated cost of the treatment plant upgrade is about $26 million. And the other component that will be presented tonight is the Arroyo Grande Creek Habitat Conservation Plan. This was necessitated a few years ago by a threatened lawsuit by an environmental group when a couple of steelhead trout turned up dead in the creek. And it was alleged that the operations of the Lopez Lake and releases from the dam were the cause. Inadequate water coming down the creek was alleged as the problem. And so habitat conservation plan was the solution to deal with this issue rather than going through a long lawsuit. And this plan has been in process for approximately 8 years, and the cost is somewhere around $800,000, and again, PISMO is paying 20% of these costs as well. What's at stake with the Habitat Conservation Plan is we would like to, as the result of this plan, come up with a plan that satisfies the needs for the environment, for the habitat, for the creek, and at the same time retain enough water so that the city can hold on to our allocation of water from the Lopez Dam. Our allocation is just under 900 acre feet per year. That's one of the three sources of our water supply. So that's what we hope to get out of the Habitat Conservation Plan when it's eventually resolved. So with those comments, I'd like to let Doug Bird go ahead and get started with his PowerPoint presentation.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Dennis, Madam Chair, Madam Mayor, and City Council members. Again, Doug Bird with County Public Works, one of the county administrators and project manager for the Lopez Habitat Conservation Plan. Objectives of today's evening, this presentation is review the chronology, give you a brief review of the chronology of the Habitat Conservation Plan. Brief discussion of our discussions with the two federal resource agencies, National Marine Fisheries Service and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, that are overseeing this. A review of our plan of action and strategies for proceeding, and then very briefly, other habitat conservation. That complaint alleged that the releases were detrimental to the steelhead trout in the habitat. In 1994, we met with the resource agencies, and it was determined that Zone 3, the district, should be the lead agency for conducting the HCP. And then, as Dennis mentioned earlier, in 1998, Fish and Game found two steelhead trout in Arroyo Grande Creek. And in March of that year, we met with the resource agencies and their law enforcement staff and agreed to conduct 5 million gallon day of releases until completion of the HCP. And continuing, in May of 1999, the district hired Stetson Engineers to conduct an HCP, and this is the final draft in my hand here of that product, if nobody's seen one of these before. It's a lightweight document. And then in 1999, in November of 99, the consultants conducted in-stream flow studies of reduced releases. And subsequent to that, we informed Fish and Game and National Marine Fisheries that we were going to reduce releases from 5 million gallons to 4 million gallons a day, which saves almost 1,000 acre feet a year. This is just an overview of the various presentations that staff has given to Zone 3 Advisory Committee, your agency, and the other Zone 3 contractors, with a total of over 45 presentations. Our environmental releases for the environment under the plan of action that we proposed in the Habitat Conservation Plan will increase total releases from an annual average of 2,330 acre-feet per year to over 4,000 acre-feet per year. Let me go back to that. The increases for the environment reflect a 72% increase over historical releases under the proposed preferred alternative. And just a little note there at the bottom, as originally envisioned, the reservoir safe yield included downstream releases of about 4,200 acre-feet. Some of the other aspects of the preferred alternative are the Arroyo Grande Gauge Station and other passage improvements. The Arroyo Grande Gauge has been identified as a passage barrier, and we're looking at a project to improve that. Establishment of mitigation accounts for funding certain projects in the creek, in-stream mitigations and restorations, development and adoption of best management practices for stream maintenance and vegetation control, as well as a public awareness and education program. Resource agencies involved, Federals or National Marine Fisheries Service, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, and California Department of Fish and Game, State Water Resources Control Board. And the last two agencies, the Army Corps of Engineers, which is a federal agency, and the Regional Water Quality Control Board, which is a state agency, would become involved if we were actually doing projects in Arroyo Grande Creek, where they have jurisdiction. Comments from the resource agencies on this draft document: they wanted a different analysis of the downstream flow relief program that we proposed, and that's been done and resubmitted to them. They wanted us to consider additional species, including speckled dace, tidewater goby, and southwestern pond turtle. That's under consideration at this time. And then consider expansion of the boundaries of the HCP to include the flood control channel and lagoon down in zones 1 and 1A, and that's also under consideration. Additional comments, they suggested that we obtain permits and easements to ensure implementation of non-flow actions such as in-stream mitigations, revise the format of this document and split it into three volumes. It is kind of hefty to tote around and everything in that form. And then assure baseline funding versus commitment to specific actions. In other words, identify the specific projects and ensure that the funding is available and committed for those projects. So the approved action plan at this point is to proceed with the additional modeling as requested, and that has been done and submitted to National Marine Fisheries just in the last few weeks. Review, comment, and respond to the agency comments regarding formatting, technical analysis, and other actions, and we have submitted a set of comments to them. One of the big questions that we asked was, can we modify downstream releases now to reflect the preferred alternative? And their response is that the district is still at risk of violating the Endangered Species Act and has no protection under the law if we inadvertently kill any of the species in the creek. And that protection is what's called an incidental take permit. And when this document is completed and we complete negotiations with the agencies, we'll be given an incidental take permit along with an implementing agreement, which is a contract between the district and the federal agencies. Other steelhead habitat conservation plans in the state, this one is on the leading edge, frankly. There are some other ones being prepared, but mostly in Northern California, releases differently than we have in the past so that we could save more water behind the reservoir for your drinking water supply. And then development of the National Marine Fisheries flow model analysis, that's been completed and submitted to that agency for their review. So that concludes my presentation, and I'm available for questions, or if you prefer, we can have the next presentation and then wait for questions.
Well, let's just take this portion. Is there any comment or questions?
Yes, Madam Mayor, and it's really just in support of what he's saying and what he's doing, but I think there's some critical issues that need to be understood. Many of you may or may not know that I was just elected second-term chairman of Zone 3.
And I am one of the people that will be meeting with our legislators in the near future up in Sacramento to try to hash some of this stuff out. It's very important. And a very basic overview, I know that there's a lot of information that had just gone by, but basically what it's all saying is that at one time we were releasing 5 million gallons a day out of the dam in order to keep the stream flowing, in order to provide a place for the fish to swim and the red-legged frog. We then were able to negotiate down to 4 million gallons a day. Now, how many rainy days have we had here consecutively, and how much rain have we had over the past few weeks? $4 million gallons a day, my constituents, are still going down that stream. There's a good friend of mine that serves on the board with me, and he likes to refer to the Hutchison plan. Well, I have a very high regard for Mr. Hutchison, who is over here and will probably speak. And basically what it is that we know our stream. We know our capacity of that lake. What we want to do is to allow enough water on a daily basis to provide for the habitat. It does not need to be 4 million gallons a day. Because remember, as we allow $4 million a day to leave that dam, it is also leaving your availability. It is going to the ocean. It is too punitive the way we're operating today on Zone 3. So consequently, that's the reason that we need to meet with the legislators to tell them, look, this is unreasonable. If you'd have paid attention to what Dennis said at the very beginning of the meeting, 8 years and $800,000 later is where we are today with no resolve. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Does anybody else have any comment or questions? Okay.
I had one question. On your PowerPoint, one of your points said that this is kind of a state-of-the-art plan and that many other situations there's a federal nexus with dams. So that means if you have a federal connection, then you're not you're protected from this type of litigation?
No. To clarify, under Section 7, you don't go through the lengthy process with the Habitat Conservation Plan that we're doing, and in fact it can be done in something on the less than a year or maybe less than a couple of years. Section 10, this is for projects that don't have the federal nexus, and you go through the entire process that we've been going through.
Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I've always wanted to ask somebody this question. After you found the two dead trout there that possibly could have been thrown there by a fisherman that illegally caught them somewhere else, okay, after that, and it was 1998, and we start releasing water over the dam for that lake, did they find any live trout after that?
There are live steelhead trout in the creek, and they have been found, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had to ask the question.
I had one question, Madam Mayor.
Okay.
Mr. Dalzite, in the staff report it says 8 years and $800,000 later with no resolve. So what could we have done different, and what should we be doing?
Well, I'm not sure what we could have done different. The laws are the environment. The Endangered Species Act is actually written for the endangered species. It's not written mm-hmm. for human beings, and so mm-hmm. all the leverage is on the side of the endangered species. What we are attempting to do is provide a scientific document to the regulators that can prove how much water is needed for the habitat. And so it is rather frustrating. What we'll show is that we can imitate the peaks and valleys that occurred historically, not with the same volume of water, but at least imitate the seasonal flows up and down. And hopefully with enough discussion between the experts that have been hired, which represent the jurisdictions, Pismo, Grover, Rio Grande, and Oceano, and some of the county service area districts, with this scientific information, eventually the regulators will be able to come to an agreement with the technical experts that we have a plan that makes sense and that will protect the habitat. But I'm not sure I know the answer. As Doug Bird mentioned, we are on the leading edge. We are one of the first to go through this process, and it's been long and it's been expensive.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Dalzite. That's all I have, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. You want to go on with your next presentation, and then after that I'll go out to the public?
Yes. The next speaker is Dean Benedix, who is the engineer in charge of the hydraulic section of the county, and he's also the project manager for the Lopez Treatment Plant expansion.
Good evening, Mayor Reese, council members, and staff. Thank you very much for inviting me to give you a brief presentation this evening. Let me get the right keys here so I know what to switch. I want to give you a little background and a very brief summary of the treatment plant upgrade, which is currently in progress. The summary presentation today, I'll give you some background and a little bit of an introduction. I understand that Christine Ferrara was here a couple of years ago. She's my predecessor. I'm the utilities manager and a project manager, as Dennis mentioned, on this project. I'll give you a little bit of information on the project schedule and information on the project budget. It's not moving. There we go. A little bit of brief background. The plant was constructed in 1968, which basically renders it approximately almost 40 years old at this point. The plant is a 6 million gallon per day process. That's how much water it can treat through the system. The water that comes from the system and to the five cities area that Dennis mentioned in Zone 3 provides water to about 45,000 residents. It does treat the water that comes from Lopez Dam. The water is piped from the dam to what's called the terminal reservoir, which is at the water treatment plant facility itself. The water stays in the terminal reservoir area about 30 days to sort of settle out. Because it is a surface water facility, there's quite a few water quality concerns that we have because there are contaminants that are subject to being in natural raw water that we have to treat. The water quality challenges, which is the big emphasis for this upgrade, there are several main ones. The State of California Department of Health Services has a cryptosporidium action plan. Cryptosporidium is a biological organism which can be filtered out in water. And in the last, you've probably heard of some instances where there's been outbreaks of cryptosporidium. And the state of California has a means and a maximum level to reduce and eliminate that from drinking water. The second major item is, in recent years, California has, and the entire U.S. has promulgated disinfection byproduct limitations. And what that means is when you put chlorine in the water, the chlorine as it sits in the water generates resultant byproducts called THMs, trihalomethanes, I believe. Am I pronouncing that right? Close. Also, the terminal reservoir, it's very shallow. And again, it takes natural water from the watershed to the dam and takes it down to the terminal reservoir. It's subject to having algae growing during the fall, which causes elevated levels of turbidity, and turbidity means basically sediment in the water. The last major water quality concern includes the manganese and taste and odor elements, which come from, again, the natural watershed and the condition of the water as it that we naturally have it here on the coast. And I just mentioned, you probably have heard this, but the Lopez water is difficult water. It's not easy water to treat. We've all separate. I didn't double up the count on them, but I just want to post it up there so you would see the sort of magnitude of what we have to do with water quality at the site. A little bit of background on how we got to this plant upgrade. In 2002, an audit was done, which is basically a survey of the facilities. The survey was done to evaluate the current and the future state and federal water quality regulations, which did include the ones some that I posted on the wall there. The audit identified a need for the upgrade, and included in the evaluation, it did some pilot studies, which are sort of chemical test, sort of sampling processes to see what works with our water, what didn't work with our water. It evaluated different treatment strategy alternatives. There were 8 separate and different alternatives that were evaluated during that audit. And the result was that it determined that pretreatment and filtration systems needed to be upgraded, repaired, or replaced. It recommended, after all was said and done, a membrane technology system to be installed at the treatment plant, which is what we're currently installing now. And just to mention, this audit evaluated the physical conditions of the plant, the performance of the plant, the structural integrity, and the remaining lifetime of the plant. Special emphasis was placed on evaluating the treatment process to consistently meet the present and the future water processing drinking standards. This is a picture of a 2002 rehabilitation that was done. This is one of the 4 existing filter chambers at the plant, at the end of the plant. The water, after it's treated, basically filters through here. There's a media that goes on top of this area. But I just sort of put this in. It shows a 40-year-old tank that has been there and operating pretty successfully for what it was designed for 38 years ago. This is a replacement of some of the tiles in the bottom section where the water actually goes through after the filter media is replaced inside. But it seemed like it showed some of the wears in the mechanical metal that's in here. The major upgrades that we are providing include the following items. There's a new membrane building. These were all supposed to come up one at a time, but I'll just go through them. Membrane filtration equipment, which is a separate contract from the actual site construction. The membrane filters are, I'm not even sure where they're manufactured, but we're purchasing them through a membrane company called the Pall, P-A-L-L Corporation, out of New York. We went through quite an extensive process to determine which membranes were the most efficient, economical, and usable for our facility. There's a new chemical feed storage building area. There's a new laboratory administration building. We are modifying one of the existing concrete pretreatment basins and putting in what's called a dissolved air flotation pretreatment system. There's finished facility will have an automated dissolved air flotation and membrane control system. Right now we have very, very minimal automation of our facilities. We will have a clear water reservoir upgrade, which is a 2.1 million gallon tank, which has a cover on top, and the cover will be replaced, and there are some internal piping modifications to included in the membrane, included in the upgrade. The chemical storage and ammonia feed systems will be modified, as well as installing a new emergency engine generator and a fuel storage facility out there to make sure it operates. These are a few recent pictures of the site. In the back, that big white balloon is the roof over the 2.1 million gallon, what we call a clear water reservoir, sort of a fluctuation tank. In the foreground is an element of the membrane building, which is a concrete underground trench to hold the main pipe supply line, which will put water in through the membranes. This is the outdoor storage for the tank area next to the membrane building, which is the foundation being constructed. These are some underground duct banks and what's called electrical manholes to connect some wiring that goes through the facility. There's pretty extensive duct work and instrumentation and cabling conduit that goes around our existing plant. And this is the location of the new laboratory administration building. The plant upgrade schedule, the audit was completed in 2002, which determined what recommended the majority provide our permanent pretreatment facilities in that sediment basin. And we will run raw water through the membrane system as half of our plant capacity as necessary. Construction is anticipated to be complete summer of next year. The plant upgrade budget, as Dennis mentioned, the project budget is $26 million. We have obtained a $26 million state revolving fund loan from the state of California through Department of Health Services. That number is composed of the original audit information, which was, as it shows, $433,000, the design phase, which got us through preparation of plans, specifications, modifications at that time, and the piloting phase, which was the actual use and testing of one of the membrane units, that cost around $3 million, and the construction phase, which we're now about 20% through, was about $22.5 million. That construction phase includes a construction contract for Cushman, who is working on the construction there, about $15 million. The membranes themselves cost us around $2 million to be provided, and the balance of that is for design and construction management services support. The city and agency finance directors were advised of this several years ago and provided multiple year projections regarding the costs of this facility. And the current budget reflects recent cost escalations, which you have talked about partially tonight. We've been finding that projects have been running anywhere from 20% to 25% over anticipated budgets. That's been confirmed by Caltrans. They've just been really expensive, and these type of facilities, wastewater and water treatment plants, are no exception to that, almost worse in that perspective. But we have gotten this far, and we have a good contractor on the site is working well and working his way through it. That concludes my presentation, and I'll take any questions and answers.
Are there any questions or comments?
Well, Madam Mayor, if I may. Again, being chairman of this, I have a very keen understanding. And this is what I would ask the public. I have a dream. And this dream is that we will no longer be dependent upon water treatment plants or sewage treatment plants in the future. Remember, we had a proclamation today that we signed that said green build. Do you know that there are cisterns available for your homes that you can actually build into the walls? You can put underneath your driveway. You can process your own water on site with no regard from the regional water quality control boards. This kind of money is only for the plant. It has nothing to do with the personnel costs associated with it. Has nothing to do with the chemicals that we have to provide to this. This is a very expensive, ongoing project. And the sooner that we can wean ourselves away, the better. Because this salient point tonight, which I think is important, is this $26 million is not a stable figure. Construction costs are going up exponentially. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Is there any other comment or question from the council? Okay, with that, I'll go out to the public. Is there anything you wanted to add to this?
There is an exhibit with the council's packet on page 3 that shows cost estimates in the coming years. And the one table that might be most interesting to the council and the public would be, if you look towards the left, there are lines, line 20, cost per acre foot. As you go across, for each year, you can see how the cost is increasing. It's approximately $911 per acre foot of water in 06-07. And by the time we get up to 2010-11, it's approximately $1,300. As Dean said, when the finance directors met with the county finance staff, these projections were presented a couple of years ago, and these figures are in line with figures that were estimated at that time. To give the council and the public an idea of comparison of these figures, our state water is around $1,000 an acre foot. Our well water is about $400 an acre foot. So anyway, costs are increasing, but as pointed out, the state regulations are the prime motivation for having to do this. If the council wants to impress their friends, you can. Yes, but this is the full cost, though I want to make sure that I explain it correctly. These figures here, PISBO pays a
20%.
The entire amount of these per acre.
Off this chart, this is the 20%.
That's correct.
Okay.
Well, this represents every community pays about the same amount per acre foot, is what I'm saying.
Okay.
But some communities get more acre footage of water.
Well, Randy gets 50%.
We get approximately 900 acre feet. Other communities get a lot more. So as far as the total cost, say the $26 million and that I referenced earlier, we pay 20% of that. The $800,000 for the HCP, 20% of that.
Okay.
But this, what the figures you see here are the total cost that the city of Pismo Beach pays.
Okay, great. Thank you for explaining that.
Okay, if there's no other questions or comments, I'll go out to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item? I have no cards at all, no speaker's cards. Seeing none, I will come back to the council. Is there anything further that the staff wants to...
No, this was presented as an informational item to give the council and the public an update on these on the HCP project and on the treatment plant project. So, no action is required.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much for being here and taking the time. Thank you. Okay, the next item we have on our agenda is 6B, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6B is an ordinance revising the Pismo Beach water rates. And I'd like to ask Mr. George Eads, our Director of Finance and Admin Services, to give the staff report. George?
That would have been nice if this was bigger. Yeah.
You want the old page back?
We didn't have the ordinance, apparently.
Thank you, Mr. Rice, Madam Mayor and City Council.
This is where the action is, if you will. Following the last report, which was informative, hopefully this one will also be, but it does request action on your part. In the former report explained what was going on.
Could the public be a little quieter, please? Thank you.
The preceding report, a lot of the folks from San Luis Obispo County and the flood control zone 3 explained the treatment, new treatment plant, and the additional costs that are coming on down the line. And of course, as Mr. Delzite pointed out, the city of Pismo Beach's share of those additional costs running about 20%, which is the pro rata on our share of the water that is supplied from the Lopez facility. This staff report, I'd give a quick overview here. It's an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Pismo Beach revising the charges for water service, in effect, to be sure that the water fund has sufficient revenues to pay the expenses here and maintain its fiscal integrity. It was 7 years ago, almost to the day, in April of 1999, when the City Council last passed a rate increase for water. Part of that rate increase included provisions for ongoing annual adjustments for the Consumer Price Index, and the fact that it's been 7 years without needs for an additional rate increase, along with the continuing rate increases once per year for the Consumer Price Index changes. So that's the base case that I've presented here. And the numbers for that base case are in Table 1 in the packet. In short, in Table 1, the top line is the water service revenues, which will be the revenues affected by these rate increases. And shows them in the last 2 years been a little under $1.9 million. And for this year, we're expecting them to come in at just over $2 million, similar for next year. And if these rate increases for June of 2006 are adopted as proposed, you can see that the rates will generally go up about $100,000, $200,000 in FY07, another $200,000 in FY08, and then about $100,000 each year for the next 3 years. The second line is the water service tax, and to help try in an attempt to assure that you're fully informed of the various costs that are and the revenue streams, there is the water service tax, which is acted upon each year, and last July we brought this forward. This is the tax on property that was voted into effect to help pay for the fixed costs of state water when there was uncertainty about the size, the number of residents and businesses that would be able to pay for it on their bi-monthly water rates. So that tax is in place, and on here we're showing that this year that the revenue from that will be just about $1,040,000, and showing that going up by about $90,000 to $1.1 million next year, although that will be I'll bring that back to you, as I said, in June or July for formal action on that, and then propose to keep it at its cap as it goes on for the next several years. The third line shows a variety of interest and miscellaneous revenues that are fairly steady in its growth for the most part. So total revenues increasing from just about $3.5 million this year and going up to about $4.6 million by fiscal 2011. On the operating expense side, but just look at this year where we have about a little over $1.2 million in operations, electrical accounting expenses, about $1.2 million for state water charges, and the charges for Lopez are about $680,000. It's that line where most of the increases in the future are coming. You see it going up by about 160,000 to 843,000 next year, then by about 260,000 to over 1.1 million in fiscal 08. And then it goes up to a little over 1.2 million and goes up and down a little bit, but averaging about 1.2 million for the next 3 years. And it should stabilize largely at that point. It accounts for all of the payments due for the treatment plant, and the variance in there will be some degree of operations charges and some capital projects related costs. So we have the total operating expenses as summarized there, currently 3,180,000 current year, going up to about 3.4 million next year, and then getting up over 4 million out in the last 3 years of this projection. Then we need to look at net income. This year we're looking at about $370,000 and going up a little bit to $437,000 next year, and then coming back down because of the large increase in expenses in the next couple of years, and then pretty much leveling at around $380,000, $390,000. What do we need the net income for? Well, you need to pay a variety of things. But and of this, the loan covenants on the bonds that we have with our state water supplier, CCWA, Central California Water Association, I believe it is, and with Lopez, require that our net income or that our total income be sufficient to not only cover the amount that is needed to help them pay for their bonds, but they want a little somewhere between a 10% and a 25% extra coverage to in our trouble with those loan covenants in the outer years. So I provided or put together an optional case which adds one more 5% increase, and that would be in June of 08. That is Table 2. So if you turn to Table 2, and there what has happened is just the along the top line, in effect, in the fiscal 08, you have the $2,430,000 of revenue. In fiscal 09, it's now $2,650,000 instead of $2,540,000. In effect, those revenues go up by about $100,000. That amount drops down to the net income, and you can see out in the last 2 years, the net income of $496,000 is right about on the mark with the expected covenant requirements. That's looking out to the fourth and fifth year. There may be some changes in costs in the meantime. It may be that some of the costs will come in a little bit better. We can't say for sure. So if you are willing to approve the 3-5% increases, that would be compatible with this Table 2. If you'd prefer to wait a little, let's say until a year from now, to get another year's information in and see how the costs are going before you voted on the third year's increase, you could go with the base case.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any questions at all? Okay.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. You have these on both Table 1 and 2, but when he's under the income, interest and miscellaneous, what would miscellaneous revenues be?
Well, there we have our, when people hook up, there's the hookup fees, and also we get, let's see, there's, I should have had that right at my fingertips.
But they're that kind.
But it's, okay, it's that
fine.
Kind of stuff.
Just
yeah.
Curious.
Yes.
Okay. And then if you go down under operating expenses,
mm-hmm.
the when we're looking at Lopez charges,
yes.
I'm looking at fiscal 04-05, but then it drops 06-07.
Yes, in fiscal 04-05, those two numbers, thank you for bringing that up, those two numbers we did not have readily at the time I was putting this table together, the breakout between State Water and Lopez. Oh. And so what that is it's the combined comma. Of the two. It runs about, just under $1.8 million. You look over in fiscal 06, and the combined at that point,
okay.
1246, it's a little over $1.9 million.
I was curious. Thank you. That's all I had. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. If there's no other questions, I'll go out to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Honorable Mayor, members of Council, Tony Spinelli. With all due respect to George's comment about there hasn't been a rate increase over the last 7 years, the last rate increase was implemented, and it was as an increase of every 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, that we had that increase, and it was a 3%. Then it just, this last rate increase was two pay periods ago, and it went to 5%. So my question is this current rate increase that we're developing now, is that going to be on top of, and I'm not sure how long that rate increase that we implemented 7 years ago is going to continue on, but is this 5% going to be on top of that rate increase that is currently in place now? So it'd be, rather than 5%, it's going to be 5% plus this 5%. And then the other question would be, is this just for water? Because I know the sewer rates are, we're going to tackle the sewer rates eventually. I was wondering if that's going to happen at the same time, if I might, Madam Mayor. George?
Yes, would you like to answer that question? You're waiting for me to ask you to do that. Sorry.
Yes. In the rate increases that were voted on in 1999, they were for a rate increase to go in, I think, in early 02 and then 01. Since then, in water, there has been one adjustment per year for the Consumer Price Index, and that's been in each December. Mm-hmm. On the water, not the wastewater. The wastewater is where we had the much larger increases that were 5%.
Would you speak into the mic,
I'm
please?
I'm sorry. Thank you. The wastewater increases voted in back in, I think at first back in 2002, were for 3 years of increases at 5% every 6 months, June and December. And
right.
And that went on through, made it at 4%. The following June, the second 5% increase, and then each December, that's the end of the June increases that I'm saying on here, although in the optional case I have a third one out there. And then in December, the CPI increases after that.
Well, that's as clear as dirty water.
I think I got lost. You lost me completely.
9% a year.
Completely.
Well,
I know.
Okay. So basically what's going to happen then is we're going to have our normal 5% in June, 06, if they pass this. And then the cost of living of 4%. So now we're up 10% in December for this year. And then next year we're going to have another 5% in December, plus the 4% in June, so another 9%. So we got 9% this year, 9% next year. Now, one other question. Is that just affect water rates, or is that on top of sewer rates too?
Those are strictly on water. Those will not change the sewer. Okay. Let me be sure that I'm not ducking anything. If there's a 4% increase from the CPI in December for water, there's also a 4% for the sewer in December.
Okay. Good point. So then what's going to happen with the increase that was approved 7 years ago? How far out does that go with that annual increase that the council approved?
The CPI is ongoing, right?
Yes. Yeah, the CPI is ongoing unless the council chooses to take an action to change it.
But it appears that you need that plus from this report that you're giving us. Okay.
Exactly, that's my point. I just want everybody to understand that it's just not, we also have something else in place here, so it's just not about this increase of 5%. Now we got another 4%, so now you got a 9% each year increase. Thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. But you, when you give us an estimate of what that would be to per person, you're estimating that based on just this increase. So, okay.
That's right.
Does the council have any other questions before I continue on the public?
Can I make one other comment, though? In discussing about these water and sewer rates,
yes.
And I've said this before, is that I think what you need to do with the sewer rates is you need to go through this rate schedule and expand it. And what I mean by that is that in these sewer rates and water rates, you have the commercial rate is one. You have a hotel rate here of $325. Then you have to have a hotel with a restaurant at $692. Mm-hmm. But if you add the hotel rate of $325 to the normal restaurant of $910, you got to follow me on this because this is very important. You got $9.10 per acre foot on restaurants.
Right.
Okay.
And then the
currently
the
on
hotel.
Sewer rate.
Then you have.
But if you combine a hotel with a restaurant, you're only at $6.92. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make sense. You can't take in. You folks are looking for revenue in the city here for water and sewer, and if you look at this rate schedule, it's very convoluted because you're losing money.
Because those are the bigger users.
Restaurant.
Yeah.
That little Subway of mine is in my center. Their sewer rate averages every 2 months probably about $275.
Uh-huh.
But if you put them in a category with a hotel with a restaurant, they'd be paying a lot less. Thank you.
A lot less?
Yeah. Well, so maybe George could kind of massage that.
Well, Madam Mayor, we're only discussing water rates tonight, and I think any further discussion on sewer rates would be appropriate for a subsequent meeting.
Understood. But there was a point. Okay.
The Exhibit A for the base case follows page 2 in your staff report. That shows the projected rates for this June. It shows the rates that were been in place.
Mm-hmm.
It also shows in there the CPI increase for last December, 5.4%. It shows the 5% that I'm proposing here.
Mm-hmm.
Then it shows for the following December, I've got in there TBD, to be determined, in December.
Okay.
That's where I'm estimating the first 4%.
Okay. I think that we all understood that.
Okay.
So is there any other question about that, though?
I understand that.
Okay. So I'm going to go back out to the public. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Don Day, 101 Park Place. I have a question.
It goes in a pipeline to the treatment plant, and it's treated there separately,
that.
But the two are actually blended.
I understand.
When they come down the pipeline that comes through the valley.
If I heard the numbers correctly, though, in 2 to 3 years, maybe 4 years, the Lopez water will be at a 1.3 or something.
That's exactly correct.
So then my statement, where I'm trying to go with this is does not Great Canyon still have some excess water that we have access to from state water that hasn't been committed yet that some of the developers have been asking for other projects?
No. The facilities, both the treatment plant and the pipeline delivery system, were sized to meet the volumes that were signed up for in 1992. There's no additional capacity left at the treatment plant or in the water pipeline that delivers it here. The only water that would be available to developers or to the city of Pismo Beach would be water that is not needed or not wanted by some other agency that could be brokered or transferred to Pismo Beach through an agreement.
Did we not set something aside years ago when they first came in that they had to purchase some water rights for the state water at Great Canyon?
There's 140 acre-feet of water. The former owner of the Great Canyon property signed up for that and paid for it directly, actually, or paid through the city, but paid their fair share. And That water has since been transferred to another property owner that's adjacent to the city boundary, the whole 140-acre feet.
Right. So is that what you were going to say, Mr. City Attorney?
So we no longer have access to it.
That's correct. So,
Madam Mayor, we never had access to that water. That was committed by Grand Canyon as part of a water presale agreement back in 1992, where they agreed to accept the 140-acre feet and pay for all of it. Technically, the city receives 1,240-acre feet, but that 140-acre feet was set aside pursuant to the water presale agreement to the Grand Canyon, which, as Mr. Delzite has said, has been transferred to another property owner. Absent going and taking over the debt burden that is currently on, I believe it's Brad Wild is the owner of that. Absent taking over that debt burden, the city does not have the right to just take that water.
But the reason for your question is, and how does that relate to?
Well, if that water was available somehow, it would be cheaper than treating some Lopez water. We might want to take advantage of that. It looks
it's
like
not
I understand that now. I was referring to the question that was addressed to me. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. Does the council have any further questions or comments?
I just have a comment, Madam Mayor. I don't think we have a choice but to do this, but I wouldn't like to see us locked in for 3 years. I would like to see, as Mr. Eid suggested, that we could, in fact, do it 1 year and then look at it again in a year.
In doing that, though, what might change?
If I could, Madam Mayor, Council, George, you help me out here. What the base case is actually increases for 2 years, a 5% this June and a 5% the following June in 07. The other option that he was suggesting to the council was approving now three increases, June of 06, June of 07, and June of 08. So if you were not comfortable with doing the three straight increases every June, the base case would require an increase this June and the following June.
Okay.
Well, but if we didn't need that float, I mean, we could always rescind that. I mean, that's all that it is for the bond counseling, is that other 5%. Mm-hmm. So if we don't need it, we're not going to take it anyway.
That's correct.
So, or we can't take it. You know, there has to be definitions of enterprise funds, and this is an enterprise fund. And those of you who are out there that don't understand them that are giggling may want to research that a little bit. Thank you.
Well, I guess then my question would be that he's right, because that third year, if we didn't need it, we wouldn't go ahead and implement it. So what would be the advantage then in not implementing it right now? You're giving us that choice.
It just gives you time in the event some cost increases that we're expecting do not come in so much. Instead of the 5%, it might be only 4%, for example. At the same time, in the staff report does make mention that also coming at another time, we reviewed with you about almost 2 years ago now, the water master plan and several million dollars, about a total of $13 million in capital projects, of which about $6 million.
If that's all that we want to do, then we can take a look at it after that and do what needs to be done at that time. So I'll make that motion.
I second it.
Okay, but
that's for 2 years.
Okay, under discussion, the recommendation was to go for the 3 years, though.
Well, what I just understood that Councilman Revenal made the motion for base case, which was a 2 year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Correct. Absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We have a motion and a second on the floor.
Is the first reading? First reading.
Okay.
Okay. And adopt by title only. Mm-hmm. Councilmember Revenal?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez G.
Aye.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Aye.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is 6C. Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6C is a request by the Pismo Beach Chamber of Commerce to consider contribution of $10,000 to fund the 2006 Fourth of July fireworks. If I could, last year the council also, as per the staff report, the council also approved a total of $10,000 for the Fourth of July fireworks, and the Chamber of Commerce feels that they need again $10,000 to run the kind of event that we all enjoy in this city. George wrote the staff report. George, would you like to add anything?
Thank you, Mr. Rice. No, I think the staff report is pretty straightforward, including the table and the graph showing the picture of past donations from the council to the chamber for the fireworks.
Thank you very much. Is there any questions from the council?
Well, Madam Mayor, if I may, you know, $10,000 is a pretty small investment for the amount of revenue that we gain during that period, particularly if it's on a Friday or a Wednesday or something like that. We have people coming to town that stays for days and days and enjoys themselves, and I think it's a good city investment to, in fact, carry on with this. So I'm going to be very supportive of it.
Okay, is there any questions from the council? Okay. Seeing none, I have one card. That's from Rebecca McMurray.
Thank you, Madam Mayor and members of council. I am Rebecca McMurray, the executive director at the Pismo Beach Chamber. And the chamber would like to once again thank you all for the funding that we received last year for the 4th of July and for your support in our putting on that event for our community, for the residents and for the visitors who are in Pismo Beach for that holiday. And we are asking for the same amount of funding for the 4th of July fireworks this year. The fundraising that the chamber does for the event about matches the $10,000 that we receive from City Council. The total bill for putting on the event, as you have seen it in years past, is about $20,000 for that day. So we do appreciate your support and look forward to a continued partnership with the city on the events that we put on. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other comment from the audience, from the public?
Marilee Hyman, 2141 Shoreline Drive. As a resident of Pismo Beach, we surely do enjoy the 4th of July fireworks. Everyone looks forward to it each year and would encourage you to support the efforts of the chamber. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
My name is Effie McDermott. Sorry, so, I couldn't help myself. I love the fireworks, and I hope you do support it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Thank you.
Madam Mayor, I'm Sue Ellen Dennis. I am the president of the Pismo Chamber this year, but also a resident of Shell Beach. And I just want to thank you for your continued support, and we really do appreciate all your help all year long. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to this item? Okay, seeing none, we'll come back to the council.
Well, Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion if it's appropriate.
Okay, if you just wait a second, see if anybody else has any other comment. Did you have any other comments?
No, the only thing I want to comment on, it always comes out of the council contingency fund and contingency account. And all the traveling that's being done by the council and the planning commission.
Well, Madam Mayor, I'd like to make a motion that we approve $10,000 to support the Chamber of Commerce's efforts in the fireworks presentation.
Second. I second.
Go ahead. Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Councilmember Rabinow?
Yes.
Councilmember Natoli?
Aye.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Aye.
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Aye.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is 6D, Mr. City Manager.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6D is a resolution authorizing the City Manager, myself, to enter into an agreement with Wilbur Smith and Associates to conduct a fiscal and demand analysis of parking in the downtown area Randy Bloom wrote this staff report, our community development director. Randy, would you give the staff report, please?
Thank you. In the fall of 2005, the council gave direction to staff to further investigate the feasibility of a joint underground parking structure with Mr. Benson, which would include the pier parking lot. It became evident that in order to accurately estimate the funding resources that are needed to fund such a facility, we needed to engage the services of a park and revenue expert. And also in looking at it, we found out that we needed to create the base information for council to make future decisions on parking, not only in where revenues would come from, what is our historic shortage in parking in the downtown, what's our future demand would be a general plan build-out, and what is the intricacies of a coastal community that has seasonal peaks and valleys in the parking demand. And such staff had researched and communicated with several parking consultants, but found out that Wilbur Smith and Associates probably is one of the leading consultants in this industry. San Luis Obispo has used them in reference check, and they recommend very highly of them. And they also done work in Avila Beach on the reconstruction plans. I personally used them probably 30 years ago on doing traffic impact reports and traffic studies.
Well, they're old now.
It's a larger firm, and they have a whole division dedicated to this type of work, the fiscal and the demand, and also they even have design divisions in their firm.
All right.
Staff is recommending that the council appropriate this money because this is the foundation information that the council would need to make prudent decisions, but also it's the type of information that should the council go forward on a parking structure, no matter what location, is bond council requires this type of expertise information for to get a favorable rate on bond financing. And so if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Thank you. Is there any questions at all?
Nope.
I only have one comment.
Okay.
The last time this council approved a study, it was whatever the amount we approved, it went over quite a bit. I'd like to see it stay at 35 if this council approves this.
Okay. Is this, do you think we're going to need any contingencies on this? You think is this a flat amount that they will not go over?
Well, their estimate is $35,000. The thing that may be a loose thing would be the timing of trying to get follow-up parking accounts during the summer, because we're tentatively trying to shoot for the spring break, because the spring break gives you the same numbers as the summer count.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If we miss the spring break a little bit, the recount will occur in the summertime to make sure those, because you don't want to count in the off-peak periods. Mm-hmm. You want to count where the peak is and where that core of parking is going and where the people are walking to.
Mm-hmm.
And,
but, you know,
being, kind of critical.
Being in business myself, mm-hmm, for many years, and I bid on different accounts, it would be just wonderful if I could come back and say, well, you know, I bid on it, but I want to add another $10,000. But I don't think that we should do that. I think if this is what they said, $35,000, then we should stick to it. Unless they have a really good reason, then I would like to see it come back to council.
Well, the resolution is for $35,000. So if it goes over, I have to come back and ask permission and request a budget transfer. So it would come
Why didn't
back.
We do that
know.
When we did the fire study?
Yeah, the fire study, that didn't happen. It didn't come back to us. And it was, we had approved only a certain amount and went over by $15,000. Mr. City Manager,
It went over budget by I think $9,000 or $10,000. I have authorization to sign change orders, and for professional services contracts, I can approve anything.
Will they bring?
Well, I think the staff can answer that question. Would you please?
What part of this report is going to do is upgrade the 1989 study to give us an inventory of what we have and what's our historic deficit. We don't actually know that right now. It also will give different financing mechanisms. It'll do some parallel stuff that the chamber work is, and I've talked to the chamber in that it'll be critical for this consultant to take that timed information. What's real critical is when we received the free parking stalls downtown and what that did with the downtown economy. Without that, without that communication to this consultant, they would be working in a void of wondering why. They would just do a straight line projection. There's a reason why it peaked and it took off, and it'll do a lot of comparisons, but it'll expand on that, and it'll expand on the modern day financing package that a city has to do. But it'll go through all that same work that was done in 1989. It'll take a look at Rick Turton's spreadsheet that she gave you is real critical into analyzing that when you increase the parking, you increase the pie of the right. commercial
but,
revenue.
But when you go to bonding, you're going to need something like this.
You're going to need this as an official okay. statement of need and availability.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Don Day, 101 Park Place. Madam Mayor, members of the council, I'd just like to make a suggestion and volunteer some service. I think it would be beneficial for this community if this group of people were to set aside possibly as little as an hour to sit down with Rick and myself and for free. We won't charge. And it might actually save money because it might be cost-effective relative to what they're able to do. So that their perspective is unique and specific to Pismo and our little idiosyncrasies as opposed to Monterey, Carmel, and other communities that maybe they've done studies on but function and act differently. So I just think that if you can see your way clear to do that, it might be a good suggestion to make to them. Thank you.
I think what staff
I had already anticipated that because as I stated a little bit earlier, it's critical for this consultant to understand the dynamics of what happened that helped our economy.
Well, I don't agree with that. And let me tell you why. It's very simple. Is that there is a biased approach I hear coming out of the downtown already about what the downtown wants for future parking and undergrounding our pier parking lot and those. They need to come in here with a fresh face, and they need to take a look at this thing objectively and come to their own conclusions, not foregone conclusions that may be wrong. So I don't agree with that at all. I think staff should be able to do that, but no.
I was just referring to sales tax, not location or our increase in sales tax in the block. There's a reason where it started off, and they need to understand the sales tax history.
So they're not consulting with them in terms of placement or those kinds of things.
What
it's
I'm
more in terms of revenue.
How the revenue?
Yeah,
but you have those reports.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else in the audience that would like to speak to this item? Seeing none, I'll come back to the council. Is there any questions, comments on this item? No one? Okay. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll make the motion that I gotta find it, excuse me. That we authorize the city manager to enter into an agreement with Wilbur Smith Associates to provide a fiscal and demand analysis of parking for the downtown. And then add to that, should the price tag go above the authorized $35,000, that you come back to council and let us know.
Is there a second?
I second it.
Okay, there's a motion and a second.
Councilmember Higginbotham?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-G?
Aye.
Councilmember Ravenal?
Aye.
Councilmember Natoli?
Aye.
Mayor Reese?
Yes.
Passes 5-0. Thank you.
The next item on our agenda is 6E.
Madam Mayor and Council, item 6E is
this big thing about
is a discussion of the City Council City Manager Leadership Team Workshop. At the last council meeting, council directed me to come back with options as an agendized staff report.
Did you pull the other one?
Yep.
The desired goal is to have two seats and the mayor up for election at every regular municipal election. So what this would do is it gives you two choices, basically. You can provide that one of the seats specifically will be a two-year seat and have people run specifically for a two-year seat, or you can provide that of the seats that are up for election, the one that receives the least votes and is elected would be the two-year seat. We've provided resolutions for both instances, allowing the council to select from one of the two. If you don't do this, then you will have an off-stagger for the council seats into the foreseeable future. So we are recommending that you select one or the other option so that there will be an even stagger for the council terms at each election. And I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, thank you. Is there any questions of the city attorney? No questions. Is there anyone in the public that would like to speak to this item?
Yes, my name is Effie McDermott, and I would encourage you to make the change so that every election we'll be electing two council persons and a mayor. And it was pointed out to me by a friend in another city where they elect their mayor that this gives the public the opportunity every 2 years to change the majority vote of the city council.
It's true. It's great. Okay, is there any other comments from the public? Seeing none, we'll come back to the council. Okay, what is the council's desire? Is there any discussion? We have two choices here.
I'm not running, so I let you all make it.
what is the council's desire? Would you have the preference of the least number, the candidate that has the least number of votes?
No, I'm totally against that. What I'd like to see for the 1 year, for this one election, have a two-year term so that somebody, if they want to try to be on a council, they might want to try a two-year term. I don't like the idea of going to the lowest vote count to get that third person. Specifically, I am being a little selfish. I've been on for 8 years, and if I want to run, I want to run for a four-year term, not a two-year term. So if I were to be elected and have the lower number of votes, then I would have to take the two-year term, and I would probably reject it. I wouldn't accept it. So, and I don't like that idea. I like the two-year term for one election so that we can offset this the way it should be. So we'll have a three and two on every election.
And I would agree, maybe a little differently, but I would agree on the two-year term because when someone's running for the four-year term, they get the highest number of votes. And then your two-year term, you would get the highest number of votes. So
that's right.
You're winning on a positive. So mm-hmm. I would be in favor of the two-year term.
You mean so specified as a two-year. In other words, someone would have to make that choice.
Yes.
People that are running would have to make a choice of two-year or four-year.
Mm-hmm.
I guess, is there any other comments? I could go the other way because...
Make a motion.
Well, I'm thinking that way... everyone just, if there's no, if someone doesn't have to make a choice, they can just go ahead and run. And if they may want to run for the 4 years, and you know, that I don't know. I guess I'm just feeling that might be a better route to go because no one has to make a choice right up front. In other words, do I want to just be there for 2 years or do I want to be there for 4 years? I would suspect that anybody running for council would expect to serve for 4 years. However, if they didn't get as many votes, then they would be serving the 2 years. So
your 2-year term would be if you were the second choice, you'd be 2 year.
Yeah,
I don't think that starts off very nicely.
Yeah, that's exactly the feeling I had too. That you'd be like, they didn't want me, but they're going to keep me anyhow because I got the lowest number of votes. And it's just, I just don't feel right with that. No, I think we have to do this one time. And you might have more candidates out there, too. You'll have more candidates because you'll have four or five, maybe six running for a 2 year term and four, eight running for the 4 year term.
Or maybe you'll just have one for the 2 years. Anyway, okay.
Everybody knows that. They run a first-class operation. There is a class coming about May 10 through 12, and then there's another one June 7 through 9. The latter one at South Lake Tahoe, the first one at Lake Arrowhead. The total price for six of us to go there would be $6,800. That's 2 days, two nights of lodging, food, and the leadership workshop that goes on up there. We would have to pay for transportation up and back, so transportation would be added on to the $6,800. Option two is a proposal from Dr. Michael Foss, who was our facilitator for the Fire Services Roundtable, so that we could compare apples and apples. I asked him for a two-day workshop, just like the two-day one that the League was going to provide us. For a two-day option, he would charge $5,600, which would also include individual interviews with each of the council members and myself prior to us meeting together, similar to what went on last in January of 2005. If Dr. Foss did add on that if less was desired, and less being not as much time, not a full 2 days, day and a half or something, of course, his rates would be prorated and decreased accordingly. Option three is a proposal from Ms. Elizabeth Barrett, which is attached in your package. Her cost was she runs leadership team building kind of things, conflict resolution, and her proposal for a one-day workshop is $1,500. So I just would, if we wanted 2 days, I would extrapolate that out and say that would be $3,000. And, of course, option four is to just defer participating in such a workshop and defer it until January or February of 2007. So I stand ready to answer any questions you all may have.
Is there any questions from the council?
Well, Marianne, you brought this forward. Why don't you just go ahead and talk about it and give us your thoughts? It is your idea.
Okay. I can do that. Except for that the last time, I think you all agreed that we'd put it on the agenda for discussion. But my whole point here is that I think that we have several months of time together. I think it would be well if we were able to sit down and build our team and set some goals so that we can all agree on what those goals are for the next 8 months or 9 months. And who knows, possibly beyond that, we may be working together longer. So I guess it's to try to get as much accomplished as we possibly can through the election process, which I think can get difficult, and that was part of where I'm coming from. So does anyone have any questions? If not, I'll go to the public and see if there's any comments from the public.
Sorry to talk so much. I don't think you need to go to a team building conference.
Okay. Okay, is there anyone else who would like to comment? Okay, seeing that, I'll come back to the council.
Well, Madam Mayor, my take on it was we're talking May, possibly June. That would give us 4 to 5 months left, and I don't think that would be very wise to do. The numbers here, using our constituents' money, just before a campaign, $6,800 plus transportation, that is just totally out. I wouldn't even consider it. The second one is almost $6,000. And like I said before, we could all
notice it and go to dinner one night and each pay for our own. And then the third person, and I really didn't do, all I did was read the packet for what she submitted. So I don't know, submitted, but I don't know much about her. But, you know, she's a licensed marriage and family therapist and in-home family therapist. And that's all that says here. So, I'm just not interested in that either. I just think that we're a few months away from a new council. And why spend that money? I mean, look at us. We all have different chairs that we're sitting in. If you want to spend some money, get us chairs that they don't hurt our backs. I just don't think we should spend this kind of money on team building that is a waste of the people's money. It's a waste of our constituents' money at this time. I mean, I think this would be good after the election. Then if you want to bring this forward again or whomever, then I think that would be considered.
Any other comments?
Well, I wanted to make a comment to Mayor Pro Tem Gonzalez-Gee. The third packet.
Wrong. And I said, but there are so many heartfelt issues that I have that I do not know can be mitigated by going to a team building conference. In fact, one of the things I think that distresses me more than anything is some of your recent actions. I believe, Mary Ann, that you try to build bridges in public and have people think of you one way, and you burn bridges in private. You know, Rudy Natoli, I believe, took unfair abuse from you regarding a commission appointment. Very unfair abuse, and he has alluded to it. Not only did he take unfair abuse, he was then criticized on his home telephone by you in very poignant terms.
I don't think that this is the place.
This is exactly the place to do this. You want to do team building? Rudy, I was wondering if you had your tape recorder under there and you might want to play that message.
Well, I didn't choose to do it tonight, but if it's necessary, I will. I'm still reeling from what happened in the past.
You should be.
More than anything, what disturbed me more than anything, Madam Mayor, was that I had a wife that just had a serious operation. She heard the cell phone message. She had heard that, and she totally came apart, wanting to know why this occurred. And I was lost for words, you know. And team building, I don't think is going to help your situation at all. If anybody needs anything, I think you need some kind of counseling, not the council.
This is not the place for this discussion, but you are exaggerating exactly what happened. Okay?
Would you play the tape?
I can play the tape if you want me to.
This is not an agenda item.
Yes, it is.
To pound the mayor is not an agenda item, so I'm not going to tolerate it. Okay?
Mary Ann Reese.
Now, what I would appreciate is if we could at least set 4 hours aside to do some goal setting. If you don't want to go for team building, that's really my major thing here, is for us to just agree on the goals that we have, to reach some goals that we all agree on so that we feel like we have support of each other and have some goal setting.
We don't have support of each other, Mary Ann.
Well, let's try to do that, okay?
How can we try to do that when just a couple of days ago I have friends in the community that give me these faxes with your name at the top of them and your fax number, and these were 2 days before you decided you wanted to come to this meeting and have a team building?
What? What is this?
Take that crap. You've been faxing those all over town.
Oh, my God.
You've been faxing them all over town, and that's the type. That's the kind of team.
Your
name is at the top of those pages.
I know that my name is on it, but I don't know how that happened.
Team building that you want to do, and you want to do team building for the upcoming election, and you're doing that?
All right.
This is only the evidence that we have.
That's enough.
That is
If you want to deal with me on a one-on-one basis outside of this meeting, I will be happy to do it.
Never happened, Marianne. You're not respectful.
Okay. All right. Then I guess that there's no, we don't want to move forward on this at all.
I would say no.
Okay. Then that settles it.
Okay. You know, there are other council people here, though, that get affected by this behavior. That doesn't bother you?
It absolutely bothers me. But when, you know, out there in the public, you know, people say, oh, everything's so nicey, and it's not. There are people on this council that have been abused verbally, emotionally, our families, our faxes. All of this stuff goes on, and you think that I should just ignore that?
Okay, but you denigrate me out there too, Bill. And people have told me that over and over and over and over.
Show me the proof. Show me the facts.
All right.
I've got a recording of you over here.
We have another council person that wants to talk, and so I'll just shut up.
I think you're guilty of denigrating the mayor as well. I mean, we can go back and look at the video of the council meeting in February when Mayor Pro Tem wasn't here. Those kinds of behaviors are inexcusable, and we all signed this ethics code. And I don't understand the. Can I please finish? Because I did not interrupt you. I would appreciate it. So if the council meetings are going to continue to become these personal attacks or these opportunities to throw this in paper and between Councilmember Natoli and the mayor.
It's cumulative.
But
it's
my
cumulative
question is,
what she's done over the years and more than that even.
Excuse me. This situation, is that not between Councilmember Natoli and the mayor?
This situation is between me and Marianne.
Okay, and I'm not going to continue with this. This is inappropriate at a council meeting. This topic was not on the agenda. I would like to resolve these issues on a one-on-one basis or at a team-building session, and this is the very reason why I think that we need it, because it would give us an opportunity to get these issues put to bed, and that's what I was hoping, and so that it wouldn't build, and we could get through an election and really accomplish something for this community, and it would appear that we don't want to. So let's move on to the next item.
Why would you send me those faxes? Why would you send the faxes?
I did not do that.
2 days before the meeting. Well, who did it?
I did not.
It's got your name. Who has access to your fax machine?
Please. Well, I'm in charge of this meeting, and we're not going to continue this. Okay, we're going to move on to the next topic, which is the city manager's report.
And on a happier note, the Easter egg hunt is coming up on Saturday, 15 April. and all of you in the community love the Easter egg hunt. It's at 10 o'clock at the Shell Beach Elementary. And what I would like to announce is that we need volunteers. So Sarah Custett upstairs needs volunteers. So if you would like to volunteer, please call Sarah at 7049. That's my report. Thank you.
I have no idea. Okay. Is there anything else? I'm sorry. I've got very distracted. City attorney's item.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I have nothing tonight.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is council subcommittee reports. Are there any?
No, but I did want to announce that I'm leaving on Friday for Sacramento. I forgot to say this at the beginning, because my Destination Imagination team came in second at the regional competition, and so my leprechauns are going to compete in Sacramento on Saturday. And should they win, then they would be invited to go to the global finals in Tennessee in May. So I hope you'll keep your fingers crossed and hope that they perform well and work well together as a team during their instant challenge competition. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anything else? Any other subcommittee reports? Okay. You're feeling very smug. Anyway, there are no pulled consent items. We did take care of those, and if there's no more items on our agenda, we're adjourned. Thank you.